we may not appreciate the real value of God's Word. I'm sometimes persuaded that we have a tendency to take the Bible for granted. We have had it, we carry it, we even bring it with us to services. And yet sometimes I wonder if we really appreciate the true value of this book, God's Word. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice that the word profitable is used in that passage. And he is saying that all scripture is profitable. It is of value to us. And somehow or other, we need to learn to appreciate just how valuable it is. 3 weeks ago, we studied that God's Word is valuable for doctrine, emphasizing that in this book we find all the teaching which is necessary to help us to know the principles, to tell us about the straight and narrow way, how we can walk in it, and how we can stand up straight in God's service. 2 weeks ago, we noticed that God's Word is of value when it comes to reproof, and how that God will point out in His Word what sin is, call it for what it is, identify it, and help us to know when we go astray and get out of that straight and narrow way or the walk in which God would have us stay. Last week, we noticed that the Word of God is of value to us when it comes to the point of correction. How that God doesn't just point out where the wrong is, but He shows us how to make it right, giving us an answer to every question and a solution to every problem. It's profitable for doctrine, identifying the right way. It's profitable for reproof, pointing out when we go astray. And it's profitable for correction, to bring us back to that right way. And the fourth point that he makes in this verse is that God's Word is of value for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. This morning, for just a few minutes, we want to analyze that statement. All scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness. God's Word is valuable when it comes to the subject of instruction in righteousness. Notice first the word righteousness. This word is used in several places to identify the way that is right, and in fact, the word is simply a long form of that little five-letter word, right, or R-I-G-H-T. When Cornelius was speaking, Peter was speaking at the house of Cornelius, he said in Acts 10, 34 and 35, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. In the 17th chapter of Acts, in that famous sermon at Mars Hill, in verse 31, Paul says that there's going to be a day in the which God will judge us in righteousness. And Paul even says, as he talks about this in relative to the grace of God, that righteousness is one of the ways that we are to live. He says we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2, verse 12. And he even connects the word righteousness with the crown that he expects to obtain when he has finished living for God. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Righteousness describes the type of life that God wants his people to live. This means that he wants us to behave right with chaste behavior, as indicated in describing the good woman of 1 Peter 3, and behaving in the house of God as a part of the church, 1 Timothy 3:15. It means that he wants us to use the right words, realizing that we shall give an account for every word. Matthew 12:31 and 32. And it means that he wants us to learn to think right, knowing that as we think in our hearts, that's the way we're going to be. Proverbs 23:7. And that the real issues of life and living come from the heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Righteousness then is used in this passage and others to describe that kind of life that we are to live before God. And that is the goal of each of us. You see, if we die in the Lord and die in righteousness, heaven is assured. Our eternal goal is heaven. But in order for us to be sure that we have heaven, we must be sure that we die in the right relationship with God. That's described as dying in the Lord, Revelation 14:13. And that would be the same thing as dying in a state of righteousness, being right with the Lord. Because we do not know when death is going to come, and because we recognize by observance that death can come suddenly, the only way to be sure that we die in righteousness is to live each day in righteousness. And that means to try to live each day in which our relationship is right with our Maker and with our Savior. Now that's the desired goal, to live in righteousness. But you see, here again, we find that God doesn't just tell us what he wants, but he tells us how. And he gives us the guidelines and the principles that are involved for us to live in righteousness and die in righteousness and go to heaven. And all of that is involved in this word, instruction. God's word is profitable for instruction in righteousness. The instruction that is given us to show us how to live that life of righteousness is what is being discussed here. Even in the English dictionary, as the word instruction is defined, there is one definition that is especially appropriate for the use of it in this passage. The third definition that Webster gives in his defining the word instruction is to furnish with direction. To furnish with direction. Give us the direction in which we are to go. The direction of our walk in the Lord. One of the newer translations translates this passage as discipline in right living. And I believe he hits the nail on the head. Instruction in righteousness is discipline in right living. Back before most of us were born, in 1935, at least many of us had not been born at that time, in one of the annual lesson commentaries that has been used in our Bible classes for years, John T. Hines, in commenting on this word instruction, said, "The original word for instruction carries the idea of training, which involves not only instruction, but also discipline." The idea of training. And a few years before that, in 1927, Brother Elam, in Elam's notes in commenting on this, says, "This word means not only information, but the whole training and education of children. And whatever in adults also cultivates the soul, especially by correcting mistakes and curbing the passions." Instruction in righteousness. Thayer, in commenting on the word from the standpoint of its meaning in the original Greek, says it's whatever cultivates the soul. He used the same word that Brother Elam used, cultivation. Whatever cultivates the soul, whatever trains the soul to be able to live in righteousness is what is being talked about here as far as the instruction is concerned. I find it interesting when studying a word to see how it's used in other places. A few minutes ago, John read from Ephesians chapter 6. It has to do in the first three verses with children obeying their parents, and in verse 4 with parents training their children. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The version from which John read said the training. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And that's exactly what the word nurture means here. In fact, the word that is translated nurture or training in Ephesians 6:4 is the same word that is translated instruction in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And by the way, it is the same word that is translated chastening, chastisement, or chasteneth in Hebrews chapter 12. Where at verse 5 he says, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Verse 7, If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Verse 11, Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, notice this, Afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If you'll just look at the words that are being used here, exercise, training, nurture, chastisement, you begin to see exactly what is meant by this word instruction and how God's word is valuable to us for instruction in righteousness. There are two kinds of discipline that are involved in training, whether it is the training of a young child or the training of those of us who are Christians. There is corrective discipline, and there is preventive discipline. Corrective discipline is important. And sometimes when a mistake is made, we certainly need to try to correct it. A young child touches a hot stove and burns himself. We want to go about the process of bringing about healing. A car runs off the road. We call a wrecker to correct the situation and get that car back on the road and going in the right direction. A person makes a mistake as a Christian. And as we prayed, especially in our prayer a few minutes ago, we are to be forgiving and we're to work to help to bring that person back to repentance so there can be forgiveness. And even when someone goes as far astray as did the man described in 1 Corinthians 5 with the sin there of fornication, there is a need as indicated in that chapter and the results in 2 Corinthians to correct the situation and bring that person back to live in righteousness. And when you and I make mistakes, and we do, and we will, we need to work to overcome those mistakes, to repent of them, to forgive, and to bring us back to righteousness. But folks, there is preventive discipline also indicated here, and this may be the real type of discipline that is embodied in this word instruction. It is better to avoid a mistake than it is to make a mistake and then correct it. As thankful as we ought to be that we can correct our mistakes in the sight of God. I can take a nail and drive it into this wood and leave a hole. And I can take some wood putty or something like that and fill up that hole and smooth it off, but I can never make it exactly like it was. I could break my arm, and the doctor could put it back in place and set it, and it would grow back, but it probably would never be exactly like it was before. I heard my dad in the last week discussing his arm that was broken several years ago, and he was even showing the nurse a knot that was there and how it was a little bit crooked now. It was put back together, and he's been able to use it for these years, but it's not exactly like it was. And I'll tell you, I had much rather never break my arm than to break it and have it set and corrected. I had much rather prevent the little child from touching the hot stove than to deal with the burn after the burn is there. And I had much rather, young folks, help you to avoid some of the serious difficulties in life, and all of us for that matter, than to deal with the correction, although the correction is possible. You see, God's word is so valuable to us with preventive discipline. And we're told to cleanse ourselves, to have some self-discipline, behave ourselves. And I'm especially impressed with a statement in the beginning of the second chapter of 1 John. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Now he continues and says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He goes ahead and says that if we sin, and when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and he can take care of our sins. And this is mentioned back in the first chapter, that if we'll confess our faults, he will forgive us. But notice he says the first in that passage, I'm writing these things so that ye sin not. I'm giving you the instruction to help you to avoid. And you remember Paul said, shun the appearance of evil? Oh yes, we can get out of evil if we get into it. And we ought to be so thankful that we can and that God is forgiving. But how much better to avoid evil? If we can get the right kind of teaching across in our families and in the church, and in some of these points, especially in the families, to help our younger generation have respect for the human body and the human mind and respect for the sanctity of the family, we can, I believe, through the value of the instruction of God's Word, help many of us to avoid some of these difficult times in life. And folks, if somehow or other we can get back and get the instruction across of what's involved in beginning and maintaining a scriptural home and family relationships, and we can use God's valuable Word for instruction to show us how to live in our families in righteousness, we can avoid divorce and some of the associated problems that are there. And if somehow or other we can take this valuable Word and get into our minds the idea of honesty and integrity, and how important it is to tell the truth and to be honest in our dealings in business and in school and in all relationships, we can avoid some of those problems that go along with being a thief, cheating, stealing. God's Word is profitable for instruction in righteousness. And I understand this to mean, particularly in this word, in this context, that it is basically valuable to us in showing us exactly what the right way is and informing us how to walk in that right way and how to avoid the pitfalls, the dangers, and the suffering and heartache that's associated with them many times. Even though we can correct those problems and come back, it is so much better to avoid as many of them as we possibly can. God's Word is profitable for instruction in righteousness if we would just read it and believe it and listen to it and apply it. Think about that word profitable for a moment. The value that's involved. Where is the value? Number one, personal happiness. Enjoying the abundant life here as we prepare for the eternal life yonder will come about when we listen to this instruction in righteousness. Keeping the church, the body of our Lord, what it ought to be, without spot or blemish. Not putting spots and blemishes upon the church with our lives, but listening to the instruction of how to walk in righteousness as a part of that great body. Saying to the world, there is something about Christ and his body that's worthwhile. The church grew even when corrective discipline was done in Acts chapter 5. And certainly the community is going to be impressed with people who live Christianity as well as talk Christianity. As we sometimes say, who walk the walk as well as talk the talk. And the bottom line of all of it's the salvation of souls. That was the reason for discipline in 1 Corinthians 5. That's the reason for discipline as it's talked about in 2 Thessalonians 3. In fact, everything that's indicated in the Bible on corrective discipline is for the bottom line of saving that soul. That's what it's all about, being able to die in righteousness and go to live with God in heaven when this life is over. No wonder Paul uses the word perfect and complete in this passage of 2 Timothy 3:16-17. After he has mentioned these four things, he says that the man may be perfect or complete, truly or thoroughly, these are different translations of the same words, unto every or all good works. He will be complete. And notice how complete. God's word is valuable for doctrine. It tells us exactly what the right way is. It is valuable for reproof. It points out how we can get out of that way. It is valuable for correction. It shows us how to get back on track when we get off. And it is valuable for instruction, which especially says to guide us in the right way to avoid those pitfalls in life. God's word is valuable for complete living in Jesus Christ. You see why we encourage people to come to Christ? Why we encourage people to live by the Bible? Because it is valuable to us, especially for instruction. And that instruction tells us even how to become Christians. In our faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins, and how to come back when we go astray. Repentance, confession, and prayer to God. How valuable His word is. It instructs us how to do it. The question is, will we do it? If you're not a Christian, if you need to come forward today, we encourage you to do that as together we stand and sing.
Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throng. Why not?